If you would please turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 18. My text this morning is verses 23 through 28. Now, we've been in the book of Acts since the beginning of January. We are going to take a short break the month of July. And I'm going to be speaking on where do you fit in Community Bible Church. So I will return to Acts in August. But this morning, we're just going to concentrate on a short passage in Acts 18. I will remind you to keep a bookmark here. We will be back. It is my text. And I will also remind you that this is the Word of God. Acts chapter 18, verse 23. And having spent some time there, he left and passed successively through the Galatian region and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the Scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in a synagogue, because when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating by the Scriptures this Jesus was the Christ. Let's pray. Now, Father, this passage starts with the beginning of Paul's third missionary journey. His second journey ends in verse 22 when he went back to Antioch. But after spending some time there, he's headed out again. And on the way, an interesting thing happens that doesn't involve him, but does involve friends of Paul's. So, Lord, we're going to look we're not going to look at Paul this morning. We're going to look at Apollos and Aquila and Priscilla, because I think they have something to teach us. So open our eyes, our hearts, our minds, I pray. Amen. So far in the book of Acts, we have seen repeatedly the value of two people working as a team. In the first half of the book, it is Peter and John. The second half introduces us to Paul and Barnabas. After their split, Barnabas took John Mark, and then it became Paul and Silas. Chapter 16, we met Timothy, and eventually it becomes Paul and Timothy. But there's another team who we meet several times in the New Testament. They weren't apostles. They weren't elders. They were a simple married couple. A married couple who can be a great example to married couples today who want to serve the Lord. They were not in any type of full-time ministry. In fact, most ministry is unpaid ministry. Most ministry is unpaid ministry. We've been programmed to think that ministry is something that a person goes into. You know, Pastor Greg, he's in the ministry. Pastor Caleb is in the ministry. Pastor Chris is in the ministry. It's something that you go into. And it is true that even in the early church, we find evidence that the church saw a need to financially provide for those who were providing ministry. As far back as 1 Timothy chapter 5, the elders who rule well are to be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard in the preaching and teaching. For the Scripture says, You shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. So even in the early church, there had already developed an idea that there's advantage to having some full-time ministers. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says that I purposely have not taken any financial support, although I have the right to. And he mentions others who had received support, but he was willing to lay that aside. So it's not foreign to the New Testament, as sometimes you hear, to have paid ministry. There is evidences of that in the New Testament. As I mentioned, Caleb and Chris and I are blessed to be paid for our ministry to Community Bible Church, and in return, the church is blessed to take care of their pastors. However, we are not just paid to do ministry. We are paid to teach you to do ministry. Keep your hand here and go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and elders, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, or ministry, same word, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, to the building up of the body of Christ, until all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So God gives to the church pastors and teachers to equip the saints, the believers, the congregation, so that they can do the work of ministry. So most ministry is unpaid ministry. We find that Paul often worked to support himself. He often did unpaid ministry. 1 Corinthians 4:12 says, "And we toil, working with our hands." He meant by that he was paying his own way. Next. "For you recall, brethren, our labors and hardship, how working night and day, so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God." So what he means there is, I didn't take any remuneration from you. I worked hard to supply my own needs so I wouldn't be a burden on you, so that I could proclaim to you the gospel of God, 2 Corinthians 11. "Or did I commit a sin by humbling myself so that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel to you without charge?" So again, even the Apostle Paul didn't always do paid ministry, but he did hold the right that he was allowed to be paid for his ministry. But most ministry is unpaid ministry. Look at Acts 20. Acts 20:34. "You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. And everything I showed you, that by working hard in this manner you must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, for he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" So again, he's referring to the fact that he made his own living. Now if you go back to Acts 18, we'll see how. And that brings us to the people we're going to talk about this morning. Acts 18:1. "After these things, he left Athens and he went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome, and he came to them. And so Paul came to Aquila and Priscilla because he was of the same trade. He stayed with them, and they were working for by trade. They were tent makers. So it's because of his desire to pay his own way, he did what he had been trained to do before he became a rabbi. Perhaps it was the family business, but he was a tent maker. So when he came to town, he needed to support himself and those who were with him. And he happened upon two believers named Aquila and Priscilla, who were also tent makers. So because of that bond, they invited him into their house, and they formed a friendship. But Aquila and Priscilla had regular jobs. Okay, they were not in full-time ministry. They were Jews, believing Jews, Christians, who were originally from Rome. But they moved to Corinth due to the edict of the Emperor Claudius expelling the Jews from Rome. Now, that's important for two reasons. One is the reason the Jews were expelled was that there had been an uproar in the Jewish population because of the number of Jews that were trusting Jesus as Messiah. So as they were becoming Christians, the Jewish authorities who were opposed to Jesus as the Messiah began to create unrest. Claudius didn't want any of it, so he just threw all the Jews out. Now, that happened in 49 AD, a well-established fact. So this helps us, this helps Bible scholars to establish the date of Paul's journeys. All right, so in 49 AD, this event happened. Aquila and Priscilla are proof that there were believers in Rome already in 49 AD, because they were already believers when Paul met them in Corinth. And they welcomed Paul into their home. Theirs was a ministry of a friendship. Verse 3 says, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them. So Aquila and Priscilla were believers who had regular jobs, who had a ministry of friendship to other believers and other people, and that's how they came across the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul stayed in Corinth for about a year and a half, and when he left for Ephesus, they went with him. So even the Apostle Paul couldn't do it alone. He needed help. He needed helpers. Ministry is using the gifts you have where you are. Ministry is using the gifts you have where you are. Aquila and Priscilla had a home. They could share it. They had a skill, so they shared it. They had knowledge, and they shared it. While in Ephesus, they met a man who needed discipling. His name was Apollos. Go back to verse 24. 1824. Now, a man named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, so he was a Hellenized Jew. He was Jewish, but he didn't grow up in Jerusalem or Judea. He grew up in Alexandria. He was an eloquent man. He came to Ephesus and he was mighty in the scriptures, the scriptures being the Old Testament. All right, he knew the Old Testament. He was mighty in preaching the Old Testament. And this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in the Spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. What does this mean? He was acquainted with the predictions in the Old Testament that God would send a forerunner that would point to the coming of the Lord. He would tell the people to make their paths straight. He would preach a message of repentance and baptism to prepare their hearts to confess their sins. He knew that message. What he didn't know, and he knew that was Jesus, because remember, John the Baptist, he was a disciple of John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, he pointed to Jesus and said, there's the one who will take away the sins of the world. So Apollos knew that. He knew that John had come. He knew about John's baptism. He knew about John's message of repentance. And he knew that Jesus was the Messiah. What he didn't know was that Jesus had died, was buried, and rose again. That's what he didn't know. He's preaching from the scriptures. He's preaching about the way of the Lord. Again, Malachi had prophesied that he would send one that would open the way of the Lord. That was John the Baptist. He knew about that. He knew about John's message. John's message of repentance had reached Alexandria. But that message got there before the rest of the story got there. So Apollos, and so go back to verse 25. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord and was fervent in spirit and was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus. Accurately as far as he knew it. See, because it goes on to say, being acquainted only with the baptism of John, he only knew half the story. He knew about John the Baptist. He knew about John's baptism. He knew about the message of repentance. He knew that Jesus had arrived, that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. He knew all that. He just did not yet know that Jesus had actually died and was buried and rose again. So when he comes into Ephesus and he's in the synagogue, Aquila and Priscilla hear this man preaching from the scriptures about the coming of the Messiah and to prepare for the way of the Messiah, but he did not know that Christ's work was finished. It had been accomplished. Verse 26, and he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue, but Priscilla and Aquila heard him and took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Verse 27, 28, say, later he took that new message that he learned, the gospel. So it took time for the full message of the gospel to get around the world, right? What was Jesus' command to the disciples? You start in Jerusalem. You go to Judea, you go to Samaria, you go to the remotest parts of the earth. So it took time for that gospel message to travel. The message of John the Baptist had a 3-year head start, right? John the Baptist's ministry was 3 years before the crucifixion of Christ. John the Baptist died before the crucifixion of Christ. His message only went so far. That message had arrived to Alexandria, and Apollos had heard it, and he knew the Old Testament. He said, I'm going to preach the Old Testament about the coming of the Messiah. He's arrived. What he didn't know was that Jesus had died, had been crucified, he was buried, and he rose again. They explained the gospel to him, and he began to preach the full story of Jesus. He was gifted, but he needed to be taught. Paul was gifted, but he needed to be taught. He lacked a complete understanding of the gospel. He knew nothing about Calvary or the resurrection of Christ or the coming of the Holy Spirit. He had great zeal, but he lacked knowledge. And Aquila and Priscilla probably invited him home and instructed him in the full story of the gospel. They served God in Corinth, and then we'll see that they will do it in Ephesus. And they each had the gift of teaching. Look at verse 24. I'm sorry, verse 26. And he began to speak boldly in synagogue, but Priscilla and Aquila heard him, and they took him aside and explained to him the way of God accurately. They did it together. Married couples can do ministry together. They were a team. So Apollos took this complete gospel message and eventually traveled to Corinth, which we'll see in chapter 19, verse 1. So look at verse 9, chapter 19, verse 1. It happened while Apollos was at Corinth. Paul passed through and continued on, all right? So Apollos is at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So again, Apollos became active in Paul's ministry. Paul was there first. He planted the seed. He planted the gospel, and Apollos added on to that. He had such an impact that Apollos is actually listed in 1 Corinthians with Paul and Peter, 1 Corinthians 1:12. Now, I mean this, that each of you are saying, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am Cephas, Peter, and I am of Christ. So Aquila and Priscilla find this man who needs taught, who's gifted, who knows the scriptures, but he doesn't know the complete gospel. They explain him the complete gospel. He goes on from there to Corinth, where he becomes a very vital part of what God was doing there. Paul considered Apollos a valuable co-laborer and friend, 1 Corinthians 16:12. But concerning Apollos, our brother, I encourage him greatly to come to you with the brethren, and it was not at all his desire to come now, but he will come when he has opportunity. Titus 3:13. Diligently help Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their way so that nothing is lacking for them. So it was because of the ministry of Aquila and Priscilla that Apollos went on to do bigger and better things, so to speak, than they did. So married couples can do ministry together. Both men and women can be involved in discipleship. Both men and women can be involved in discipleship. They're always mentioned together in the New Testament. They're never mentioned separately. Husband and wife complement each other. You'll notice chapter 18, verse 2. And when he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife, Priscilla. Aquila is the husband. He is the leader of the home. His wife came with him to Corinth. Look at verse 26. I'm sorry, verse 18. Paul, having remained many days longer, took leave of the brethren, and he set out to sea for Syria, and with him he took Priscilla and Aquila. Now here the order is reversed, because they're a team. Verse 26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, again, she's listed first. They were a team. They complemented each other. So both men and women can be involved in discipleship. They work together to... They shared what they had. They had a home. They had a skill, tent making. They had knowledge of the gospel. They shared it with Apollos. So, hospitality can be a great tool for discipleship. Hospitality can be a great tool for discipleship. We saw that in Acts 18:3, they took him aside. They took him aside. Verse 26. They didn't ignore the fact that he was in error, but they didn't embarrass him in public. They opened their home. In fact, we read about them several times, about the fact that they opened their home. 1 Corinthians 16:19. The churches in Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord and the church that is in their house. Now remember, they were expelled from Rome, but sometime later they went back to Rome. Romans 16, greet Priscilla, and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risk their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. Also greet the church that is in their house. So they, when they were in Corinth, they opened up their home to the believers. When they were in Rome, they did it again. They weren't in full-time ministry. They weren't apostles or elders. They were just people who used what they had to help others, to reach others, to disciple others, to encourage others. Don't overlook the value of inviting people into your home. Don't overlook the value of inviting people to your home. So at the end of his life, Paul writes to Timothy, who was pastoring the church in Ephesus. This is at the end of Paul's life. Who was there with him still faithfully ministering? 2 Timothy 4:19. Greet Priscilla and Aquila in the household of Onesiphorus. So they were still, now they were with Timothy. Right? Now they're with Timothy, being a blessing to him, helping him. Apollos may have been single. Aquila and Priscilla were married. None of them, though, were paid ministers. But they invested whatever they had in others. Let's pray. The Lord, it's not wrong for churches to have paid ministry, paid staff, paid elders. It's not wrong. But the church much more needs unpaid ministry. We need people to get involved. We need couples to do ministry together. We need people to use their gifts, to share what they have, to teach, to encourage, to disciple. Most ministry is not done by paid staff. It's done by the congregation. And that's the way you designed it. You gave pastors and teachers for the service of equipping the saints for the ministry. Lord, Aquila and Priscilla are great examples of a married couple who together gave what they had, opened their home, complimented each other. We're a team that helped disciple Apollos, who went on to become a valuable part of the spread of the gospel and a blessing to Paul's ministry. So, Lord, I would pray for these folks that they would determine to share what they have wherever they are. As we read about Aquila and Priscilla, they moved all around. But wherever they were, they were in the business of encouraging other believers and discipling other believers and opening up their home for other believers. So Lord, raise up some Aquilas and Priscillas, I pray. Amen.